It's good to be back with you, and I pray that in the time that we have together, the Lord will once again encourage our faith, encourage our hearts, and draw us even closer to Himself. It is indeed so sweet to trust in Jesus. We sang that at the beginning of the service. It is so sweet, just a few minutes ago. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, and just to know, thus says the Lord. And I want to read for you a poem that I had come across years ago. It's actually been put also in a hymn. Some of you may be familiar with this. It was written by William Cowper, a man who suffered greatly in his life. God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea. He rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. And I love this next phrase, behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. What we will see here in this story is what indeed brother alluded to, the wisdom of God, God's wise and amazing providence in the life of Joseph. Joseph was a young man chosen by God to accomplish great and mighty things. And in this particular message today, my prayer is that we will see the amazing providence of God in the life of this young man. And that as a result of it, we too will be encouraged in our own lives. Because I don't know what you're going through. You may be going through so much difficulty and you don't understand what is happening to you. But I pray that in this message, you will see God's good plans for your life and that He has never failed you. He has never failed any of His children yet, and He will not start with you. So with that, let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this message that You're about to deliver to us. And I'm thankful, Lord, that You have chosen to use me in my own weakness and fragility and frailness. I pray, O God, that Your Spirit would speak to Your people and touch each one of us at our point of need. We love You, O God, because You first loved us and gave Your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins, to show us who You are and to bring us into Your family. Thank You that Your providence covers all of our lives, the good times as well as the bad times, and that every detail of our lives does not escape Your attention. We are encouraged by this. And so I pray that if there is anyone here this morning who finds themselves between a rock and a hard place, that they will find relief and comfort in the fact that You, O God, You are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of distress, and that then they will be still and know that You are God. This is our prayer tonight, this morning, And we ask that you forgive us our sins, even as we also forgive those who have sinned against us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, the message that I'm going to deliver to you doesn't come from just one chapter. It scans a number of chapters, and for the sake of time, we decided not to read all of the chapters from which this message will come, and you can imagine how difficult then it is for me to try and condense these few chapters into one message, but with God's help, I'm going to try and do that. But one of the things I think that will help us all is to look at the key that unlocks all these chapters that are before us. Genesis chapter 39, 40, and 41. But also even going before that, Genesis chapter 37, and then going even after that, a few chapters after chapter 41, as the Lord continues to work in the life of Joseph. And I want to attempt to give you something that will help us to unlock the message that is here before us this morning. The brother read chapters 39 and 41, and I want to draw your attention to chapter 39, because I think there is the key that unlocks everything that is before us here today. And I love it when you can get to a text like that and you just find the key that opens everything up and you go, wow. So Genesis 39, the key to understanding everything that is before us and everything that happened in the life of Joseph is in verse 2. You read there, the Lord was with Joseph. That's the key that unlocks everything that happened in the life of Joseph. If you look at the life of Joseph from beginning to the end, you cannot understand it without this. The life of Joseph makes sense, the experiences that he went through make sense because, say it with me, the Lord was with him. And when the Lord is with you, it doesn't matter who is against you. Are you with me? I hope you can celebrate with me concerning this truth. I'll say it again. When the Lord is with you, it doesn't matter who is against you. You can face anything and anyone because you know the Lord is with you. And this is a secret that helps us to understand the difficult times in the lives of God's people. Those situations, those experiences which don't make sense at times. It helps us to unlock the wonderful truths about God's wise and amazing providence in the lives of his people. Joseph had a very difficult life. His life was full of tempests and trials and tribulations, ups and downs. He was loved by his father, as many of you know if you have read the story of Joseph. And he was told in a dream that he was going to be a great leader one day. And out of nowhere, trouble comes. He didn't see it coming, but it came. The people he loved, his own brothers, put him in a pit. This was painful to him. Can you imagine your own family abandoning you in a pit like Joseph was? And his pain was not the physical pain of being thrown in the pit. There was that, but it wasn't all. His pain, I believe, was the emotional scars, the emotional pain that he felt, the abandonment. Even as he's being thrown down into this pit, banging against the walls of that pit and being thrown in this dark pit and in the mud, he felt the emotional pain, and that is what hurt him the most, I believe. Instead of receiving love from his brothers, he received envy. Instead of being protected and being cheered on. His brothers were jealous of him. They set out to hurt him, to kill his dreams. And there's something about people like that, that they have sort of confused their own thinking. They are confused in their own thinking because they think that by bringing you down, that they'll bring themselves up. That's how haters think. They think that if they bring you down, then that will bring them up for some reason. They think that if they can kill you, that will make their lives better. But that's not how it works. And we'll see that in the story of Joseph. He is in this water well, bumped against the rocks side by side, being abandoned by his children. He's now in this darkness, in the mud. He's forgotten. They went home and told their father that Joseph was dead. Joseph is now left alone, no food. Maybe he was drinking the water in the well, perhaps. But he couldn't go to the bathroom outside the well. So you can imagine, picture with me. He has to go to the bathroom right there where he is, abandoned. And someone came and got him. You know the story. But then only to be sold as a slave. The story of Joseph from the title of the sermon, from the prison to the palace, actually goes even further. And we could say from the pit to the prison to the palace. The Midianite traders, they're passing by and the brothers sell him to them. This would-be leader is now lost, is a slave. And you can imagine that atrocities of slavery. If you've read any history of slavery, you know that there's nothing pleasant about being a slave. It's not something that any of us would want on ourselves or wish on anyone else. It's not a life that we admire. But remember, the Lord was with Joseph. Say it with me. The Lord was with Joseph. So everything, whatever else is happening to Joseph, this is the silver lining. The Lord has not abandoned him. He has been abandoned by his own family. The very people he loved, the very people that should have provided security to him, have abandoned him. They have let him down. But the Lord was with Joseph. All right? Let's not forget that. The Lord is with Joseph. Even in the pit, even as he's being sold as a slave, the Lord is with him. I just want to celebrate here. I'm thinking of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Yeah, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And as you study that psalm, let me just digress a little bit and do a bit of teaching. As you study the 23rd psalm, you see that it's actually Hebrew poetry. And one of the wonderful things about Hebrew poetry, which is different from the English poetry that we all know, is that the punchline is not at the end, as you find perhaps in English poetry. It's in the center. of the poem. And Psalm 23 centers on the fact that, for you are with me. For the psalmist, that's what made the difference. God was with him. And for Joseph, the same thing made the difference. God was with him. Now in Egypt, he's sold. He finds himself in Potiphar's house. Again, if you go back to Genesis 39, you see Joseph, you find him in prison. Read, please, with me. Open your Bibles to Genesis 39. And could you please read out loud? Let's all hear together. Verse 21. But what happened? All right, let's read to the end of that chapter, verse 22. Are you seeing it? The Lord is with Joseph in Potiphar's house. And everything he touches, just blessings here and there, multiplying blessings, success is coming. Everything, wherever Joseph put his hands, the Lord's blessings followed him there. Do you know that the Lord is with you today? And he intends not only to bless you, but to make you a blessing. So that everyone around you feels and experiences something of the goodness and the power of God. And even though you may find yourself in the pits or as a slave, sold by the very people you loved, abandoned by them, because the Lord is with you, his blessings will never leave you. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That was what happened with Joseph. Everything he touched prospered because the Lord was with him. So in Potiphar's house, things now are beginning to look good for Joseph. Great things are happening. It's nice. It feels nice. But then, somebody likes him the wrong way. You know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm going with this. Somebody likes him the wrong way. Potiphar's wife, wanting to commit adultery with him. And he ran from her. The Bible tells us that Joseph could not fathom doing what Potiphar's wife wanted him to do with her, because he did not want to sin against the Lord. How can I do this thing and sin against the Lord, he says. Because he understood that every sin that we commit is not just sin against the brother or the sister here. Sin is ultimately against the Lord. Are you with me? We really need to understand these things. When you do something that is clearly wrong, you hurt a brother or a sister or someone else in your life, you are ultimately sinning against God. David understood this too when he slept with Bathsheba. And as he's praying, confessing his sins before God, do you remember what he said in Psalm 51? Against you and you only have I sinned. Didn't he sin against Bathsheba? Didn't he sin against Uriah? Didn't he sin against the nation of Israel? He did. But he understood that ultimately his sin was against the Lord. And Joseph understood that too. So he ran. But also I think he was afraid. If he had committed adultery with Potiphar's wife and Potiphar found out, what do you think would have happened to Joseph? He'll be gone. But he was more afraid of God than he was of Potiphar. And so he ran from her because he didn't want to sin against the Lord. She lied on him and got him put in jail unjustly. Ah! Just when I thought things were looking up, tragedy hits. Back down. You're knocked down just when you thought that you could stand on your two legs, 2 feet. He's in jail, but he's still alive, and the Lord is still with him. Now, I want to point out something here that I think perhaps we miss, because remember, God is at work in the life of Joseph, and he means to bless him, and he means to use him to accomplish great things, not only for himself, but for Egypt and for the nation of Israel that would come later on. And all that we're looking at here happened in the life of Joseph during his first 30 years. All right? Anybody 30 here? Don't be shy. under 30, let me just say, anybody under 30 here? Yes? Yeah? Raise your hands up. Let's see you. All right? So picture yourself in this phase of your life going through what Joseph has just gone through. Or your dreams to go to college shattered. Or your dreams to perhaps build a relationship and get married shattered. All your dreams you have, whatever it is, shattered. And you find yourself at 30 or so in prison, locked up. The future is uncertain. His dream now is beginning to look like a nightmare or a cruel joke. And here in prison, he's beginning to experience what would feel like the agonizing death of his dreams. He was a very gifted man. God had gifted him. And so he tried to make the best of this bad situation. But he's in jail. But he was a godly man and in prison. While his dream is dying. Listen to this. While Joseph's dream is dying, he is making the dreams of others come true. He is able somehow to help other people, but he cannot help himself. And after he had helped them, they forget him too. Sometimes the people you do the most for are the same people who spit in your face and forget you. There is physical pain here involved in Joseph's life, but also he has emotional pain. He has emotionally been assaulted. Every time he does something good, it all goes wrong. I mean, the reason he had gone out to the bush to find his brothers was to bring them food, but he ends up in the pit. He's working hard in Potiphar's house, but he ends up in prison. He tries to do good, but it all seems to go wrong every time. And then, there is a knock on the prison door. Someone walks in and says, "Hey, Joseph, Pharaoh wants to see you." Now, at that moment, picture yourself, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. You don't know whether to be happy or to be scared. Yeah? Ah, the most powerful man in the land wants to see me? What wrong have I done? What could this mean? You don't know whether you should be happy or you should be scared. But Pharaoh wants to see Joseph. And so he leaves prison only to find out that Pharaoh needs his gift. Because Joseph has a gift that Pharaoh needs. His gift brought him before great men. And friends, this is how God works. God was already at work in the life of Joseph even before this point, gifting him, blessing him, and making him a blessing. What he could do, however, what he could do, it helped him to do something that he couldn't do. Are you following the story? He could interpret dreams because God had blessed him with that. But just because you can interpret dreams doesn't mean that you can unlock prison doors. And so God, in a mysterious way, works things out. So Joseph is now brought out of prison and before this great man, before the king, before Pharaoh. In the pit, in the prison, Joseph was helpless. He could not help himself. But there was something valuable in him all along. In the pit, in the prison, and that precious thing never got lost. So all this is happening in the first 30 years of his life, before he was 30. Joseph lived to an old age. He died at 110 years old, all right? So this was perhaps the first third or the first quarter of his life. There was more to come. And you know, the second part of his life was better than the first. Because God had turned things around. There was a reversal of fortunes, we could say. The cycle of tragedy and misfortune stopped. His problems did not continue for the rest of his life. And I hope that you can take encouragement at this. Whatever problems you may be going through right now, those problems which seem impossible, those problems which look as if they have no solution, there is no way out, those problems will not last forever. In Joseph's life, the cycle of these tragic and traumatic experiences stopped. God was the one who stopped the cycle. His problems didn't continue for the rest of his life. There was frustration, there was pain, there was financial loss, we could say. And you may be experiencing the same kind of things. Marital breakdown, hopelessness. But now Joseph is before Pharaoh. He goes from being a prisoner to a prince almost instantly because the Lord was with him. And because of the gift that the Lord had given him, he became the prince of Egypt, only second to Pharaoh. That's amazing, friends. Don't lose sight of how wonderful this is. Picture with me Joseph, a young Jewish boy in a foreign land. He's not even Egyptian, but he finds himself second in command over the land of Egypt. The Lord smiled on him, we could say, and he became this powerful man because of his dream. Now he is the administrator for the gross national product of Egypt. I'm encouraged by this because it shows me that the Lord's hand, when the Lord places his hand on a man or a woman, great things can happen. Great things can be expected. And sometimes, and because God has gifted you in one area, that gift that he has given you in this particular area will put you in a place of responsibility, often beyond your experience. Your gifting will put you in a place of responsibility that is beyond your experience. Picture Joseph, all right? Let's say 30 years old, now second in command over all of Egypt. And I want you to feel something here with me, all right? Picture,
feel with me how daylight feels on the face of an inmate. Somebody who has been locked up for years now comes out of prison and feels the warmth of the sun. The sun shining on his face. Someone who has spent years in the dungeon. Now he has a clean shaved face. Perhaps in prison his beard had grown so long, not because he wanted it to become so long as some people do, but because he had to. There was no opportunity to shave, and now he can feel his skin and the sun is shining on his face. He's now brought into the palace for such a time as this. God never makes mistakes with his timing, friends. His timing is always right. And I want you to feel Joseph's heart racing as God rolls back the darkness of his past and sets him now in a place where he has been given great responsibility to control the gross national product for the nation of Egypt. He has no background in accounting. Do you have any accountants here? He has never gone to business school. He didn't study political science. He was not even elected to the position that he has now. But all of a sudden, he finds himself here. And it almost sounds too good to be true. Unbelievable. He had given up perhaps on his dreams while in prison. He thought, this is it. And now he finds himself in this unbelievable place. And no, in prison he was afraid. But it was a different kind of fear. He was afraid of, you know, the atrocities that come with being a prisoner, being beaten, working so hard, and all of those things. But now opportunity is right at his fingertips, you could say. He's in a very different place. And he's still a bit scared, perhaps. Scared in a different way. Am I going to be able to handle the responsibility that is being entrusted to me? It sounds so funny. I'm not used to this. I'm used to being in prison. And you know, that is a human experience sometimes. When you are used to being in prison, being in the palace feels funny. Love feels funny when you are used to abuse. Financial stability, financial prosperity feels funny when you are used to living from paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth. Feels weird sometimes. He has nothing in his background to prepare him to be the prince of Egypt except his trials. But he's blessed, truly blessed, and yet scared. Picture him. Nobody comforts blessed people. When you're the prince of Egypt, everybody thinks all is well. You might be there, but you are scared. If you're a prisoner, people say, oh yeah, you know, he's in pain and he needs a little bit of comfort. And so they may come and comfort you. They may see your need. But when you're in that kind of place, it's a lonely place. Things are going well, yes, but you may be so scared and you need some comfort. But even there, the Lord was with Joseph. All right? Let's not forget that. In the pit, in the prison, and in the palace, the Lord is still with Joseph. Sometimes when you're given a chance to do something that had died in you, it feels funny. You're afraid that you're going to mess up. There are voices in your head that are not very encouraging. You're not made for this. You can't handle this. You can't do that. And I can imagine Joseph praying, Lord, help me here. I don't want to mess this up. I don't belong here, but I'm here now. I'm in the palace, and I don't feel comfortable in the palace. I was in the pit and in the prison so long. It was painful, but at least it became familiar. But now here I see clean floors and nice food everywhere, servants all around doing everything for me. I'm not used to this.
Sometimes what you prayed for seems weird when it comes. And if you're not careful, sometimes you can kill it and sink back into your old life in prison. You go back to your old life, seeking out your old friends that you used to hang out with in prison. Those friends who don't expect much from you. Instead of standing before Pharaoh, you would prefer much rather prefer that than to stand before Pharaoh. I remember working in Malawi, where I was born, with street children in the capital city. Many of them abandoned by their parents, and they are sleeping under bridges, begging food, tattered clothes, dirty. They have not taken bath in months. And we would go to the streets to try and help these young boys, young girls, to bring them to safety. You take them off the street, you clean them up, you give them nice clothes, you give them nice food and nice place to stay, a nice home, nice bed, their own room, and all of those things. But not all of them stayed there. Not all of them wanted to be there. And from time to time, we'd hear stories of, oh, this one has escaped and is back on the street. Why? Because it felt so weird for them. The streets were familiar. We have a lot of homeless people all around Vancouver, Greater Vancouver. If you would hear these stories over and over, you get somebody off the street, try to help them out. Before you know it, a week or two later, they're back on the street. Feels weird when you've been used to living in the prison for so long, and now all of a sudden, you are in the palace, standing before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says to Joseph, I want you to be in charge of the finances of Egypt. You know, he puts a necklace, a gold ring around his neck. He gives him the second chariot, riding behind Pharaoh. He says, I want you to have this responsibility because I sense the Spirit of God is on you. And I don't know what was going on through Joseph's mind at this time, but have you ever been liked by someone who wasn't supposed to like you? And you wonder, where is the angle here? What is this all about? Someone that perhaps you thought didn't need you comes all of a sudden and says, I need your help. Can you help me with this? You don't know the protocol in the palace? Food is set before you don't know how to hold the fork in which hand or the knife in what hand. The salad and dessert, and you don't know which fork to use for which. Because you've been so used to just being in the prison. He didn't know what was before him. He didn't know how he would handle this responsibility that has been entrusted to him. But I'm sure that all along, Joseph was looking to the Lord. And the Lord never let him down. While he is in Egypt, great things happen. You know the story. The famine came and people started coming to Egypt from all over the world, flocking there to buy food, and Joseph was the one in charge of all this wonderful operation. I mean, I can't imagine having so much responsibility. Now, the responsibility grows not only for Egypt, but now the whole world, basically the known area at that time. There's famine around everywhere, and Egypt is the only place where people can go and find food. And we see something that is so powerful here concerning Joseph. That even though he was abandoned by his brothers, sold by them, forgotten, betrayed, he never forgot them. He still, I believe, missed his brothers. The Bible tells us that later when they were united, he wept sore.
He wept when he was reunited with his brothers. But he had to let go of something. He had to let go of bitterness. And this was difficult, I'm sure, for Joseph. He had to let go of bitterness without letting go of his love for them. God wants us to learn something from the life of Joseph, because in the story of Joseph, you find God speaking to us. While he's in Egypt, he's blessed with his responsibility. He's second in command. He's given a wife to marry, and she gives him how many children? 2 children. Do you know what their names were? The first one was Manasseh. Powerful. And the second one was Ephraim. Do you know what Manasseh means? Causing to forget. When he was in the palace, handling this great responsibility, being blessed by God, enjoying all these wonderful things that God had given him, he had to forget everything. He had to forget the pit. He had to forget the prison. God had caused him to forget it all. He had been given a clean start, a clean page, a fresh start. And I want to encourage you, friends, here, that whatever you may have gone through right now, by this time, whatever you may be going through right at this moment, God can cause you to forget all of that. He wants you to leave it all behind because he has something wonderful ahead of you. Are you with me? He wants you to let it go. Manasseh came into Joseph's life at the right time. But there's something much more wonderful that comes. You see, Manasseh had to come first before Ephraim. Yeah? Ephraim means the Lord has caused me to prosper in the land of my affliction. But first, Manasseh, he had to forget it all before he could be blessed in the land of his affliction. We're getting somewhere now. Do you see where the story is going? In all things, Manasseh came first, but Ephraim came second. In the land of his affliction, God blessed him. In prison, God blessed him. In the very place where his dreams seemed like they were dying, God blessed him. In the land of your affliction, in the same place of your greatest pain, God will meet you there and bless you. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor angels, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. From prisoner to prince, in the same place, in Egypt. He had suffered aggravation and so much agony and pain, but blessing came. When things seemed to be out of line, realignment came. God realigned everything. Perhaps God is setting you up for a blessing through the trials you're going through right now. Stop running from your pain. Is your marriage hard? Stay there. Don't run away. Is your job hard? Stay there. Don't run away. Are you finding it hard to raise your children? That you just want to get somebody to adopt them? No. Don't give them up. Strive and trust God, and don't run away from the responsibilities that God has entrusted to you, even though they may be hard. God will bless you with stability in your relationship, in your finances, with your children. In the land of your affliction, God says, I will show myself strong. In the land of your pain, you will experience pleasure. He will move you from prison to palace, from an inmate to being a prince. Stand still, Moses said to the people of Israel as they were crossing the Red Sea. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For these Egyptians whom you now see, you will see no more. And I can say on the authority of the word of God, these problems that you now see, you will see no more when God comes through for you. But most importantly, Joseph shows us Christ. He's a picture of Christ who suffered rejection, forsaken by his own people. We read in the Gospels, John chapter 1, verse 12. He came to his own, but his own people rejected him, did not receive him. But to all who receive him, who trust in him, he gives to them the right to be called the children of God. You are royalty. You are son of the Most High. You will reign one day with him in glory. Take courage, dear friends. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take, William Cowper writes. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he always hides a smiling face. May God be praised. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word that comes to us with such power and such force. So practical, Lord, that each one of us can relate to this. And so we just pray for faith. And it is indeed we sang and we truly believe this. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, and just to rest upon his promise, and just to know that says the Lord. And I am so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior and friend. And I know, I don't just hope, I don't just think or feel, I know that he is with me. And he will be with me, not just for another day, or another week, or another month. He will be with me all the way to the end. And I long for that day when I and all the people who have loved Christ's appearing will be gathered in your presence, where there is fullness of joy at your right hand, where there is pleasures forevermore. Preserve us unto that end, O God, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.